live in the studio here at WILL-FM. It was the Rooms Trio, who are pianist Dan Pearson, bassist Charlie Kirchen, and drummer Matt Carroll. They're going to be playing at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 7 o'clock, and decided to come in a little early and give us a live preview. They'll be with us for the hour, and it's pretty close to the anniversary of the first time they played together as a trio. And in fact, that gig in June of 2011 was also at the Iron Post in Urbana. Dan is a graduate of the jazz program at the University of Illinois School of Music. And we'll find out a little bit more about the other two, because I don't know as much about them. Although they both were, all three were on the show. Was it on the occasion of that gig, or was it at some other gig? Do you remember, Dan?
It was some other gig. I think it was a year ago we were here. I think maybe there was one that we did before that the year passed, I believe.
Because I forget. I mean, if I'd have said, I thought it was about a year ago, and then you turn around and say, oh, it was really 4 years ago, I wouldn't be surprised.
No, it was the anniversary of when we were here, yeah.
Jazz Fest at the Iron Post?
2012.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Because I do remember you were here for one of the Iron Post Jazz Festivals, which, by the way, we missed. It was a couple of weeks ago, I guess. And I learned about it a little bit late, and we probably set something in our calendar. But in any event, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
That tune had a name?
Toad.
Toad?
Toad, yeah.
Well, let's talk about names. First of all, let's start with the name of the trio. I mean, at first I thought it was the Dan Pearson Trio. But somewhere along the line, you told me it's the Rooms Trio. That's R-O-O-M-S. And so I learned that early enough that I was able to say so in our promo yesterday for today's program. Where does that come from? I was looking to see if it might be an acronym of your names, but I haven't figured out the puzzle if that's the case. They're all looking at each other like, let Charlie speak to this one.
Sort of like a classic band name story. We were just sitting around trying to think of a name, me, Dan, and my girlfriend. And there was a book on the shelf called Room. She thought it was a nice word, and then over time, we decided room sounded better.
Hold on, back up. Somebody was gesturing to me a moment ago, and I think I missed the critical thing. So you and Dan and your girlfriend, that's where I got lost.
Yeah, we're hanging out, trying to think of a band name, and we're just like looking around for things to spark our imagination, and there's a book on the bookshelf called Room, and we thought that was a nice word. Could be a good band name. Eventually, we talk about it. It becomes Rooms. We think the plural sounds better, and it just sort of stuck. And I think it has it's definitely open to interpretation, just in terms of music is something that's spatial, music is something that fills up space, music is sort of like a container or something like that. And I think that's sort of what attracted all of us to the name.
Well, I mean, when you said Room, that sounds like a good band name. My first thought was, really? But maybe you were already thinking philosophically. If one goes to your website, where there's not a whole lot, by the way.
No.
You go to About Us, you get this long philosophical piece about space, which I'm guessing, Charlie, you probably wrote.
No, that was actually the work of my girlfriend.
That was her work.
Yeah. Okay.
She also used to play drums in the trio. That's why I wasn't there that night when they were trying to figure out the name of the band.
So she was the original drummer?
She was the original drummer, yeah.
Oh, here, I thought you were the original drummer.
Yeah, I'm lying. Yeah, I am. but where was I while they were deciding the name? I mean, God, if I could choose the name of this
just
band.
Just naming bands is just the worst.
Yeah.
Okay, so she is or she is not a drummer?
She's not a drummer.
But she took my spot that night. That's all I'm saying.
So in other words, I need to really be careful to any answer.
Pretty much from this
guy. Blacklisted already? We're only 9 minutes in.
You have to keep in mind that I'm a very literal-minded person. So if you tell me something, I might
believe
it.
No, that's not fair. I know.
Yeah.
But where the necessity for a band name came from is, you know, this band as I see it, and we all see it as a collective. So all the music that you're hearing is from all three of us. And so to call it, you know, one person's trio or have one person's name in front kind of alludes to the old leader Simon model, where it's, you know, somebody's trio, that's all their music, they put everything together, and then you have accompanists with it. And the way that we look at this, this is our band. So.
Well, I think when you were on before, maybe it was at that point the Dan Pearson Trio. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how. So this is a name that came up within the last year or so? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, in the fall.
And did it start out as something that you led, Dan, or that you just pulled together, or has it evolved into more of a collective thing?
You know, I think it was just something that, I guess it looked like on paper that I led, but really these guys contributed music and all their ideas and everything, so I just felt like it was a collective from the start. You know, and that's, I think historically when you think of like any great trio, like in jazz music, it is always labeled as somebody's name, like right. The leader. But it really is always a collective. The trio is always a whole, you know.
Well, I would think particularly with a small combo like that, it would be difficult for any one person to say, I'm leading, unless, you know, that person is a bit dictatorial. And it's particularly reading the description you sent me, Dan, of that first gig. And I'm just going to quote what you said. No words were spoken. No set list was planned. Instead, they, meaning you, just drifted from song to song, listening and improvising with intense abandon, unquote. I like that. Is that Charlie's word?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did that actually work? And is that still what happens a lot? I mean, if does that mean you had no idea, you had no songs at that point? I mean, that you had come up with together? You
it hadn't... started out as like a very casual thing. Like, we are friends that had played in different contexts, and Dan had this gig at the Iron Post, and we came down here, and we played it, and we were hanging out, and it was fun. I don't think there was any, like, real intent of becoming a band, like, before that gig. But I think just from playing with each other, that there was chemistry, and it was clear that, like, these were musical relationships that you wanted to invest in. And sort of, like, over time, I think it's evolved into more of specifically a band that's pursuing like a specific repertoire of music and like trying to find like a specific concept to go after. I think that's sort of like a more recent development. And I think like where we're at right now, like we just recorded this album. In the past year or so, we've been writing these tunes and learning to play them and stuff. And I think we're trying to sort of get away from the ink a little more now. The past year has sort of been about like playing these tunes as they were written and just trying to like execute. And I think now we're getting back to a place where we want to bring that intense abandon to this music that we know now, get away from the ink a little more, and just loosen things up.
So I'm a little stuck on the first gig, forgive me. Just the idea of coming together where somebody would start a tune and the rest of you would recognize the tune and then you would keep going, or somebody would just start playing and then the rest of you would join in and it would go where it went.
It was something along those lines, but I think the thing to keep in mind is that
Which one? Those were two options I presented.
Oh, well, I was going to say, with the idea of the intense abandon where somebody starts a tune and just starts improvising and then it goes into something, what we were going into was this common language of all these jazz standards that we knew. So if somebody started playing and somebody kind of went along with it, then we'd sort of morph it into essentially a jazz standard.
Mm.
So that's kind of what our anchors were, you know, in the tradition of this music, piano trio, that's what a lot of people play. And that's kind of where we started that, you know, that night when we played, and that was the idea.
And that still does happen sometimes?
Not as often.
Not as often, I think.
Not as often, but...
Yeah, I think we're trying to sort of grow past that. Oh, maybe that's the wrong word.
Develop our own compositional voice, I guess. I mean, that's really been our focus for this last record, at least, so.
You say this last record, meaning
our first record.
This is the first record.
Yeah.
And so it maybe was necessary to use your term, Charlie, play the ink for a while until you got your voice as composers, and then once you get your sound together, get your voice together, get compositional notions together, then you can diverge from them a bit more as you develop as a trio, like that.
Exactly.
And I think that's sort of a challenge of interpreting this music too, especially music that there's a pretty substantial improvised element. Is just you want to be specific and you want to be saying something specific, but you don't want to be confined by being specific at the same time. And I think that's sort of it's a challenging line to toe.
Well, the usual jazz structure, is, as I understand it, not being a jazz musician, is, let's say, sort of the norm, is you have the composed part where you have the, you know, the tune written out, everybody plays the tune, and then you start breaking out into some series of solos where there's a, there is a chord structure, and you know, you guys, let's say bass and drums, will lay down the rhythm, you'll do the harmony and the rhythm, Charlie, and then let's say Dan will solo on top of it, and then you might switch it around, and then you eventually come back to the tune. Sort of, that's a way to do it. But this composition that you just played seemed to me, just from watching, that it had a very definite way to begin and a very definite way to end, and possibly some very definite planned events in between, sort of reinforced by the fact that it was not very long, because a lot of jazz tunes get extended with all the improvisational elements. So that one seemed to me to perhaps be one of those where you were playing the ink.
Yeah.
True? Not true.
Yeah, there are definitely certain landmarks in that one that are planned, and then there's improvising at certain sections. But in terms of how the whole thing unfolds, I mean, you're the composer. Do you want to?
Yeah,
talk about?
I mean, I think
this was your tune.
Toad
was your tune. Yeah.
Toad, like listening to how the new record is going to sound, like placing each and in a set of music, in a live set of music, like placing songs in an order so that like the set can kind of make sense, like each song can kind of have its own function. So this song, I've thought of it as recently as kind of like an opener song. It's kind of, it kind of brings the ear into the music, and it's not necessarily the most improvisation heavy song, you know, and there's not a lot of chord changes or there's not even a whole lot of implied melody in it, but there are other songs in the set of music and the record that kind of take you there. So it's a journey, you know.
Is everything we're going to hear today, and perhaps those who are going to be at the Iron Post tonight, is this all music that is on the record you just made, or some yes?
Yeah,
some no?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, okay. Well, nope. Why not? Go ahead.
I was going to say, we actually ended up recording 14 original compositions in the studio, and what we did is we ended up choosing 9 that we'd like to be on the record to keep the record a concise length. I think it's going to be about 40 minutes long. Instead of going and showcasing all those 14, we wanted to like pick kind of like a little snippet of that.
But you've got 14 to play with at your gig tonight,
mm-hmm.
and anything else that might happen to come up. What do you have, since I assume you have sort of a compositional structure to, or programming structure to what you want to do on today's show. What do you have next?
Bloomington?
Bloomington? Yeah, we'll play a song of mine called Bloomington.
All right, so this is Charlie Kirchen's tune. Charlie's the bass player. Dan Pearson's the pianist. Matt Carroll, the drummer. And the trio is called Rooms. They are live with us here on Live and Local today. They're going to be at the Iron Post in Urbana starting at 7 o'clock tonight. Thank you. the fade out of the cymbals part of the composition. I wanted to give that time. The trio called Rooms here on Live and Local, live in our studio. Dan Pearson piano, Charlie Kirchen bass, Matt Carroll drums. They'll be at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 7 o'clock till
9:30.
About 9:30. And our program today is made possible by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, announcing the 2013-2014 season featuring Elnora, the Guitar Festival, Chicago Symphony Orchestra, Diavolo, Nathan and Julie Gunn and Friends, Joshua Redman Quartet, and more. Tickets are on sale Saturday, August 10th at 10 a.m. The tune you just heard was called Bloomington. It was Charlie Kirchen's composition. And again, it's sort of fascinating to watch this tune unfold. Towards the end, Dan was looking rather intensely at Matt, who was sort of looked like the conductor almost. And you know, so he made drums, sticks went up to make a certain gesture, chord happened, etc. But again, to me, it sounded like almost three independent people. Whether that's what you had in mind, Charlie, I don't know. But you know, it looked to me like Matt was, you know, filling in according to whatever you thought you should fill in with at the time, or how many of those gestures plan in advance.
Mm. Yeah, I think there's certain pivot points in the song, like.
What did you have in mind, Charlie? When first of all, when you come up with, did you name it Bloomington after you wrote it, or decided I'm going to write a tune
Matt
called
named
Bloomington?
Bloomington. I just had no title in mind or anything. It was just sort of I was just sort of trying to follow like a certain harmonic logic and make a song out of it. And that's really it. I mean, I just was at the piano and just came up with it. And in terms of just like interpreting it as like a vehicle for improvisation, I think that's one of the big challenges is, especially improvising without time like that, in a fairly loose harmonic structure, and just finding a way to make that groove in sort of a way. Mm. And flow.
Improvising without time meaning.
With no 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3,
yeah,
4.
Yeah, definitely nobody was laying down a pulse.
Yeah, there's
anywhere.
No pulse. And even just the way the harmony moves is sort of, you know, very amorphous. And it's just sort of trying to find ways to fit in and, like, fan the flame, as it were.
And there's also, I guess, it just gets into discussion of the terminology, you know, with what pulse really is. When you listen to some freely improvised music, sometimes there is a pulse that everybody kind of feels and moves together, but it's nothing that's like a set length. The beat wouldn't be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, and then feeling all the different subdivisions. You kind of feel where there's like a pulse here, and then it might pull back a ways, and then it might come back in, but it's a way to move together and move through the harmony together. And I feel that every single time we play this song, it always kind of goes through it in a different way. You know, you get to the... It's interesting because this song, to me, I kind of treat it like it, you know, if I were to play a jazz standard or something. You play the melody is there. We play that together. We have the same bass notes. I have the same melody. That's all hooked up. And that happens at the end. But somewhere in the middle is where the improvisation is. And sometimes we've played it, and it's a lot more bass heavy than it is piano heavy. You know, sometimes that's more of the forefront. And then sometimes it's more of what I'm hearing and what I want to improvise, and then he sort of more accompanies me. And there's always these little milestones that we can get into in the middle of that. And, you know, I remember specifically on the that improvisation, there was a thing in the middle where I quoted the melody, and the second I hit that chord to quote the melody, Charlie had that bass note there. So it's an interesting way to play, you know, music that's freer, because you're not just like jumping off a cliff into the abyss and saying, okay, let's create something together. There's something to come back to, so that if you want to come back to something, if you want to reference a melody that was stated earlier, it's there. And I think part of the conversation, and I think this is something that I was always inspired by when we like first started playing, is that we'd do something and maybe it wouldn't work, or you'd have an idea and you think this is going to be the idea. But if somebody else doesn't catch on to that, or they're not really feeling that and they're going in a different direction, the idea is just always be chasing this thing the whole time. And then you get to the end of the song and it's the end of the song, and whatever you chased and whatever direction it went in, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And the idea is just to develop that as far as possible so that, you know, it does sound like a cohesive unit or not a cohesive unit. You know, it's up to the listener's imagination whether it was effective or not effective, you know.
Well, we're talking a lot about not really a compositional process, well, or a compositional process in the context of a jazz performance, because there's so maybe a beginning, a middle, an end, or at least roadmaps, as you said, or events, and then the composition develops in a different way every time. And I was just thinking of, I had an idea that I wanted to ask you if you might consider, and this might be a ridiculous request, and you may have no interest in attempting this at all. Hmm. But I would it be possible to do a tune, to play a, whatever your next tune is, or some other tune that might not have been your plan, and tell us what's happening as it's going on?
Talking and playing?
Yeah.
I don't know about
because
that.
I've always wanted, you know, I'm not a jazz musician.
Yeah, that's
I'm
interesting.
Always astounded by improvisation. And I look around, you know, the room anytime anybody's in here playing, and I always wonder who's communicating what. Mm. And I usually can't tell, you know, which is the... sometimes I know what the improv stuff is, but sometimes I don't.
Yeah, I think it would be nice to do that if we could, like, listen to some of the cuts from the record and talk.
Well, that was another... Did you bring it along?
We have it. It's in the car.
I have it on my phone.
We could do it. I'd be up to do that for a track if you...
Well, now, how are you going to get it from the car? Because
no, hold on. I have it on my phone, right here.
I don't know.
Oh, right. He has it on his phone.
Plug the...
I don't know. Hey, Mike, can we do anything with that?
It's not going to happen.
He's saying no. Yeah.
Well,
right.
is there
a way have a great setup here for that sort of thing. You can say no. It was just an idea to think about for the second time.
I'm thinking, what if...
Now
what
you're
if,
intrigued, huh?
Yeah, what if we... what if we maybe talked through a song before we played it and kind of talked about what usually happens in it and, like, the roles and...
Sure.
Kind of what we plan compositionally and then what's improvised.
Or let's hear... Okay, this is the tune, or this is the start, this is the end. Here are some landmarks in the middle. And we'll know when they come, and anything else in between is whatever happens.
Okay. So should I explain Bricks a little bit?
Yeah.
So this composition is called Bricks. Again, another arbitrary title. I guess I looked outside the window.
I still want to know about Toad, but we'll just leave that for now.
That actually has a story.
That was the opening.
I have a story for Bloomington, too. I'm just full of stories.
Okay. We just don't know if they're going to be true.
Oh, man, set yourself up.
Uh-huh. Okay,
So Bricks, I wrote this song, and I was just really just trying to experiment with writing just two-part counterpoint and just hearing a melody on top of a bass line, and then attempting to see if I could just improvise over the bass line that moves. And to see if I could kind of keep it in the same tonal center, but still have my harmonic interest to do different things with it.
So the bass line came first?
Oh, they came at the same time. Yeah. I try to, like, really write as, like, a contrapuntal idea. And I did it in 4-bar segments. And then I thought, well, this is nice. And it's kind of like a cyclical form. So it's 16 bars. And then the last 4 bars, so bar 12, 13, 14, or that'd be 13, 14, 15, 16, those bars also have a second ending. And that second ending fits in the same way, except there's one rhythmic motive that you can hear, and then what that ended up turning into was a drum solo. So when you listen to this song unfold, you'll hear a melody played once with really not much improvisation at all. The second time that you hear the melody through, I improvise on top of it while the bass line is still going. So the bass line never changes. There's no improvisation in this at all.
So what's the bass line?
Mm-hmm. chords there. So that's essentially the song, and then there's the melody on top.
And the melody is?
That's the melody, and at the very end, there's a rhythmic hook that's so to
Which
get
is,
into it.
Yeah.
And at the very end of the song, you'll hear that, and then you'll hear a drum solo over that. And kind of the thing is, it's funny, I usually don't really play this on the piano. It's usually on a Rhodes with some different sounds. So it'll be interesting to hear it.
You could probably punch up a Rhodes sound on there somewhere.
Yeah, it's a little... I like the piano sound on this the best. I think Yamaha does the piano on these very well.
Okay, very good. Okay, so it's called Bricks. Rooms Trio here on Live and Local.
Thank you.
Bricks, the name of that song, played by Rooms Trio. Do you say, is it Rooms Trio or The Rooms Trio? Or does it?
Great question.
You don't know.
Rooms Trio, yeah.
They seem to be coming around to that even as we speak. Matt Carroll on drums, sort of featured at the end in the improv. Charlie Kirchen laying down the persistent bass line on the bass, and Dan doing the same, plus melody on piano, Dan Pearson. They're going to be playing at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 7 o'clock, and they're with us live here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our program is made possible with support from these business partners: Strategic Farm Marketing of Champaign, KC Summers of Mattoon, Jarman Center of Tuscola. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible, and we thank you for your support. Dan, you said that you normally would play that tune with on a Rhodes. Do you usually use a Fender Rhodes for your trio? Is that kind of the sound of the trio?
Yeah, that's a lot of it. There's some stuff I like to play more on piano, and I bring around one of these Nord Electro boxes when I don't bring the Rhodes around, but. I forgot the power cable.
You forgot. So tonight, I know that the Iron Post has a grand piano. Are you going to be using that, or are you going to be using your?
Yeah, well, I love that piano. So.
So it'll be piano tonight.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the times if you play at a place that doesn't have a nice piano, sometimes you bring these digital pianos, and it kind of takes a lot of the fun out of actually playing a real instrument. So for me, if I can, it's nice to bring out a Rhodes, because you can do a lot of things with the sound that really are customizable and feel nicer to play than the digital piano sound.
Does the composition change in your mind when you have a different sound, when you have a different keyboard sound?
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely things I play when there's a certain sound. If you play a Wurlitzer piano, if you're playing a synthesizer, if you're playing an organ, a piano, different kinds of pianos, there's just different things you hear and can play. An instrument that's more resonant, you can get away with playing a chord and really digging into that chord and like hearing that and leaving that there and dealing with that sound, where sometimes you dig into a brighter piano or something and you play that and you're like, it doesn't work, it doesn't sound good. So you customize what you're playing and hearing to with the instrument.
And is the piano at the Iron Post one of those where you can let the chord sound?
Yeah, I like that piano a lot. Yeah. It's kind of amazing. I don't know if you know that the story behind that piano, how it used
I
to
don't
be in,
know.
It actually used to be in Smith 25.
This is room 25 at Smith Music Hall on the campus of the University of Illinois.
You.
For those who don't have any idea what the lingo is, Smith 25.
Oh, man. Yeah. Sorry, I'm dropping
the
lingo.
I knew exactly what that meant. I spent
funny.
Lots of time in that room.
But that used to be the piano in there. And then I believe Tom Becker, the pianist in town, bought the piano and had it for a while. And then Paul Wirth at the Iron Post eventually was able to acquire the piano, and that's been in there since. And it's usually tuned up nice, and it feels great. It's an old Baldwin. So
yeah, I've heard lots of people play it, and it does sound nice. It's not a real resonant room, but it's a nice room to hear music, and it's usually not too loud, which I appreciate. I don't want to go down that road. get started on that whole topic. I wanted just to sort of step way back, and we talked about how the band first played as a trio, but I'm just kind of curious about your history as friends. Two of you, Charlie and Dan, were actually cherubs, right?
It's a funny word.
Yeah, cherubs. I know what that means because I went to Northwestern and heard about it all the time. It's high school students in the National High School Music Institute. How they got to be called cherubs, I don't know. It's not even an acronym. Maybe because NHSMI is not a not very pronounceable acronym.
Yeah, they called them. Yeah, you wouldn't want to call them NISHMIs. For all the students at NISHMI.
No, what were you studying when you were there? I mean, were you jazz, playing jazz at that point, or were
it's
you
like
doing
band anything? Camp? Yeah, basically. And it was just a jazz program. Joel Spencer ran it. Who's
now the drum on faculty here?
Exactly.
Jazz drummer.
Who would have thought back then that we'd have this band now? But just goes to show you.
And so the two of you just stayed in touch all that time, or you came around,
sort of
rediscovered?
Loosely. And then I think we became better friends for the past couple of years, and just have played more. And
were you playing either together or with other third parties or other larger combos in between now and the start of the trio?
Yeah, let's see. Because when you were at Northwestern, there were different people we'd play, and we ended up on a few gigs together. And I was finishing up high school. I was at the end of high school. But I'm from Libertyville, which is about 40 minutes away from Evanston, which is where Northwestern is. And so a lot of times I'd come in to hear music, and there were a lot of people that were playing together that lived around that area. So I always would run into Charlie.
So, Charlie, you went to Northwestern for undergrad then?
Yeah.
In jazz?
In American Studies. Oh. But I always had my eye towards a music career and was serious about playing my whole time there.
And Dan, you and Matt knew each other. I mean, you went to different high schools in the Chicago area, but connected how?
If I remember correctly, we played some society gig downtown through a mutual friend.
A society gig.
That's what they are, you know.
what does
jobbing,
that mean?
I guess you call them jobbing. Gig. There's different terms, you know. There's people call them jobbing gigs, society gigs. Those sorts of things are interchangeable.
Dan was wearing an orange tuxedo.
Yeah.
It's very proper.
So high society.
High society, yeah.
How did you get...
I just got those words mixed up.
But how did you get into that as high school kids?
I think.
Sorry, I'm not even taking you back that far because you guys are not that old.
My memory is...
Well, I'm trying to think what the link would have been. I think a lot of times that stuff... What happened because of the Jazz Institute of Chicago? They had a it was called Jazz Links.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what the program was set up to do is to bring in high school jazz musicians to play at these different parties. So I think this party was probably at the University Club of Chicago, if I remember, up in the library room. Right. And so we had a mutual friend who played bass, and she had heard about Matt. She was friends with Matt and had heard about me and needed a pianist, needed a drummer. And so we showed up and played this gig, and then, you know, we're friends. And
yeah, it's funny though, because I used to study with Joel Spencer in high school. I think maybe a couple years in high school, and Dan was taking piano lessons from Joan Hickey, who's, you know, also on the faculty here at U of I. And she's married to Joel, so we would be...
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
You didn't know
I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Dan would be taking piano lessons with Joan, and I would be in the basement with Joel. And, I would just, you know, I'd see Dan there, and we never talked there, but we, yeah.
No, it was weird. I think the first time we, like, ever talked or played was at that thing with
Kenny. Was it possible to play together in the house where, you know, you're upstairs with the piano, and Matt, you're downstairs with the bass, and you could actually... play together?
You know, that never really happened. There was a couple times that Joan would set up a session. She'd have one. Right. I remember a couple times she had Chicago drummer George Flutis to come over to her place, and then she'd hire a professional bass player, and then all of her students would get to play trio.
Fun.
It was great. So, but those were really the only times I remember playing music in that living room with other people. They're mostly just private lessons where we talk about, you know, everything you talk about in a jazz
private lesson. Matt, where'd you go to college?
I went to the University of Miami in Florida.
Is there a name of the School of Music there?
It's called the Frost School.
The Frost School.
Yeah, Patricia Frost.
Because I was trying to, you know, I was trying to look up you guys yesterday and get a little information, and I saw somebody named Matt Carroll who was a drummer who went to some school, and I couldn't quite tell from the picture if it was you or not. It could have been.
Could have been me.
So I'll have to find the picture and find out.
Yeah.
If that was you. Anyway, that. So you went down there and just ran right back to Chicago?
Or? Yeah. So I went there for 4 years. I'm the same age as Dan, and Charlie's a year or two older than us. So he's
the old man.
He's the old man. He's the wise man. for those 4 years, I would come back for the summer and, you know, see these guys, play with them, either in, you know, a session context or out, you know, at a gig. And then I graduated and moved right back because Chicago is my hometown, and
that's where you wanted to be, and there's a lot of good jazz going on. There's a lot of good music of all kinds going on there.
For sure, for sure.
Not to mention theater, which is another topic. Yeah. What do you want to do next?
Do you want to do track 12?
Yeah, let's do that.
Is that the name of the tune? And is it that where it appears on the record? No, because yours has only 9.
I guess that's the tricky part.
It's a teaser.
Oh, so what track is it going to be?
8.
Game.
What's the story behind track 12? I don't even know this. Why is it that?
Oh, I don't know, Dan. I don't want to discuss.
You're ruining
names.
The mystery, Pearson.
Yeah, it's a mystery song.
Track 12, Rooms Trio, Dan Pearson, Charlie Kirchen, and Matt Carroll live on Live and Local. Track 12, the name of that song, which will be track 8 or so on their forthcoming CD. It's Matt Carroll's composition, right?
Yeah.
And played by Matt Carroll on the drums, Charlie Kirchen on the bass, Dan Pearson on the piano. Together they are Rooms Trio, and they're going to be at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight. You know, you said 7, and their publicity says 8 o'clock.
You know, it got changed. Paul needed to move it to 7.
So it'll be at 7. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of music going to be at Iron Post tonight. In just a couple minutes, you can go hear the Boneyard Jazz Quintet. That's starting up at 5 o'clock. And then the Dan Pearson Combo is what it says here, but it's really Rooms. And then Kilbourne Alley Blues Band will be there later on sometime. It says 10:30 here. Might be sooner because you guys are playing until about 9:30 or so. It's been a pleasure to have you all on the show, playing live.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Sure, and thanks for indulging me in that one little exercise earlier.
Definitely.
It might be maybe next time when you have the CD out, we can sort of talk over it, because I'm really fascinated about, you know, what's planned, what's not planned, and you know, you never know these things.
Yeah, great.
So till next time. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having us.
Here are some other events that you can go see and hear live in our listening area. By the way, in case I get done with this early, not very likely, think of some standard you want to go into. The Peoria Bach Festival opened today at noon, and they have a concert tonight, and then they have concerts once or twice a day through June 9th. That's at Trinity Lutheran Church in Peoria. Big Grove Zydeco are at Rose Bowl in Urbana tonight at 9 o'clock. Mitchell's Bluegrass and Gospel are at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood this evening at 5:30. The Lamont Parsons Group also playing jazz at Bouvons in Urbana this evening at 6:30. The World Stage Homeschool Theater Company is presenting Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream at 7 o'clock tonight, and then at 1 and 7 tomorrow at Stratford Park Bible Chapel. The Frank Trumpeter Quintet play jazz at Marley's Pub in Springfield tonight at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow it's the Homer Soda Festival with the Pedestrians, Big Blue Stem, Gussied, the Prairie Dogs, and the Delta Kings in Homer tomorrow from 10 to 10. The Heartland Festival Orchestra plays a concert called Maestro's Favorites at Five Points Washington tomorrow night at 7:30. Phoenix Theater in Monticello presents the Hallelujah Girls tomorrow night and Sunday night. Tomorrow night 7:30, Sunday matinee at 2:30. Del Sur gives their CD release party at the Iron Post tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. It's Cosmology with Chris Moores on trumpet and colleagues at Bouvons in Urbana tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. The Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan is giving their Showcase Cabaret, previewing their summer shows. That's at in Sullivan tomorrow evening at 6:30. It's the Thomas Burrow Street Dance with... happening at on Main Street in Thomasboro tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. The Blue G's, Great American Taxi, and Chicago Farmer at Donnie's Homespun Pizza in Springfield Sunday evening at 5, and Matt and Tom Tarina at the Iron Post in Urbana Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring the new exhibit, The James Bond Theme, Music to Live, Die, and Love Another Day. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. This is 90.9 WYLL-FM and HD Urbana with translator W293AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. For Live and Local, I'm Kevin Kelly.